Right, 807 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Sean and Kelly, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic, and y'all at 343-0106, 343-0106, text line, also phone line, gets you through. And I'm sitting here looking at a bag full of soon-to-be red ripe tomatoes, some homegrown. Buck, thank you. Thank you, thank you. My buddy Buck, he's got one of my favorite follows on, like, Instagram. I've told you I have an Instagram page. We have an FM Talk Instagram page, more station stuff. Mine's kind of the stuff I do on the weekends, and, you know, I usually outdoors pictures of some sort. And the people I follow there, I'm mostly looking at people's gardens or their outdoor activities, and Buck's garden and his dogs. I love Border Collies. And I love gardens. And that's like the dominant of his Instagram page. And I've been watching these tomatoes grow on his Instagram page for a while. He just, in our area, brought us some by. These are going to be fantastic.
And he's a hell of a musician, too.
Yes.
I mean, he does it all.
Yes, he is. He is a Renaissance man. And brought us these tomatoes by. So I'm fired up because I'm thinking about weekend plans. Some tomatoes on the plate there, you know, sliced up, maybe a little bit of salt, and maybe a fresh fillet of red snapper or two to go with it. What do y'all think?
I think that sounds nice, and I think we should also point out that this all started because Buck's wife said she would like some tomatoes, and he, as a great husband, he accommodated his wife.
Said, yeah, I'll show you tomatoes.
There you go. That's a win-win.
I'm waiting for it. I did not plant any tomatoes this year, much to my chagrin, and Bill Finch has been after me about that, but it's good to have friends that have great gardens, and my parents, their tomato plants soon will be ready, so I'll go by and poach them off theirs as well. But I mentioned, yeah, red snapper in the mix. Of course, snapper season opened Friday, Saturday, Sunday of last weekend. Now, today, Friday, we're back open again as we do the weekends as we head through the summer. To talk more about that, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, we're joined by Scott Bannon. Hey, Scott.
Good morning, and I'm doing one of my favorite things. I'm sitting here at the boat ramp watching people head out to go fish, and then you ruined it by making me hungry talking about eating tomatoes.
Well, listen, it's a good. We can get you some. I'm coming down there this afternoon. I'll bring you some of these tomatoes for you to check out. But you're at the boat ramp on Dolphin Island at Billy Goat Hole. What kind of volume of fishermen are you seeing head out this morning?
All of the ramps at the moment have people launching, and the traffic is backed up past, or not backed up, trailers are parked all the way past Audubon. So if any of you are familiar with that, you know, it's about 3/4 of a mile down the road. So the walk is good, but the weather is beautiful. People are catching fish. I already talked to some people who've been out and came back, and they had their limit of red snapper. They were excited. The weather, the offshore marine forecast is what we call FAC, and I'll let your marine friends interpret that for your non-marine friends, but this is the kind of day that we're proud of here in South Alabama.
It's fantastic. I was thinking about this, because if you'll take a picture of the trucks and trailers that are sitting there that have launched already, that's the kind of stuff, along with the data we collect. I want to talk about the Snap app and the snapper information, that data you used to make the case for this longer season for us here on the Gulf Coast. You know, it seems like, just as an addendum, when you're talking to the federal folks and you show them, here are the actual stats for snapper and what we're catching and all this, while you're at it, I'd say, hey, y'all, look at Exhibit A through B. This is the number of people that on a Friday, enjoy the fact that they have, you know, ability to go out and enjoy a renewable resource.
Absolutely. I mean, I was talking to some folks. They were talking about calling in sick, but the boss had already called in sick. So I guess everybody's here on Friday.
And tell folks, too, so if they're going to go tomorrow or Sunday, how they use the Snap app, how they make sure they're legal. Obviously, they've got to have the fishing license, although tomorrow is free fishing day. I want to talk about that. But how do they make sure that they're registering those fish and doing it the right way?
The best way to do it is go to the new Outdoor Alabama app. It's called Outdoor AL, and it'll have two big letters, O and A, so I can spell it myself. And then use the new Snapper Check app on there, because it has an offline function. It's much easier to use. You can still use the old Pocket Ranger if you have that, but we are transitioning to the new one. It's a little more user-friendly to allow with the offline function. And your Game Check and all those others will be on there for this fall anyway. So we want people to go ahead and make the transition. And you can also fill out the paper copies at the public access boat ramps, or you could go online to outdooralabama.com. But if you have a smartphone, use the app. It takes about 30 to 40 seconds once you remember that you don't know your Alabama or whatever state registration number. So snap a picture of that with your smartphone, and you are good to go. And report those fish before you leave the water. So now with the offline function, when you're idling back in, have somebody pull that phone out and report them. And that's going to help us maintain the opportunity to have a state season and really help us with this year's season.
Yeah, and talk to folks, too, who haven't heard you and I talk about it in the past. How many days and how it's laid out from here on out?
This year we're looking to do 47 days, and that's based on our catch effort from last year. And it's really about just under 1 million pounds of fish is really what we're working toward. And with the reporting, we'll know when we meet that number. And our goal is to get to Labor Day Monday. So we're doing weekends, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the entire week of 4th of July, because that's a very popular time for people to be down here, and then hopefully getting through Labor Day Monday. And some people are going to say, well, if I don't report my fish, we'll get to that Labor Day Monday. That's not really how it works, because we're going to make an estimate, and we're going to estimate on the side of caution. So please report your fish. That is a real number, and that's real science, and then we can make real decisions. And I will give you every fish that I possibly can if I feel good about that reporting rate.
Absolutely. Yeah, because you've got to make the case to the feds that we are doing it the right way and keeping these extended, this exempted fishing permit going for another year or so. All right. I want to talk about tomorrow, free fishing day in the state of Alabama. You mean we can go fishing anywhere? I mean, is this just freshwater or is it saltwater? What's it encompass?
It is freshwater, saltwater. The only exceptions are there are some pay lakes where you would still possibly have to pay to attend the pay lake. But as far as the license goes, you're exempt. So if you've never been fishing before, come on out. You can go fish from the bank, from a boat, in a lake somewhere. We want you to enjoy fishing all across the state. And then I hope that you learn that this is something that I would like to do all the time. And then you'll buy a license, and that money goes back into doing things like building boat ramps and administering the things that we do to provide access to the public.
Yeah, and not to get off in the... We get in some Montgomery politics here shortly, but y'all remember the money that Director Bannon's talking about, that's what funds these projects. The DCNR is not a net gainer from the general fund. So, I mean, they're a self-funding, you know, group, and I think that's important to point out.
Yes, and I want to spend your money wisely, and I want to spend it to where it benefits you, and that's the entire purpose of the Department of Conservation, is to provide maintain valuable resources that we here in Alabama, that we have here in Alabama, and that we provide access to it for the citizens of Alabama.
You mentioned boat launches, okay, Scott? When you mentioned boat launches, my radar goes up. Of course, an issue we talk about here along the Gulf Coast a whole bunch. Let's first talk. I'm looking at text people asking, what about the Fort Morgan launch?
The Fort Morgan launch is open, and it was going to be open for the weekend, but it is now open full time. So the contractors, they worked in the pouring rain this week. I called them to make sure they were not working in the lightning with that big track hoe dredging the basin. But they have painted the stripes. They have finished the dredging. They have some touch-ups to do around there, but the ramp will be open full time now. They may have to close one side or the other over the next week or so as they do a few final preparations to just completely seal the deal. But the Fort Morgan ramp is open. We're going to send a press release today so that people can use it all week, 24/7.
That's great news. That is so important to folks in that corner of Baldwin County for getting out. And everything's good to go at Billy Goat Hole and Little Billy Goat Hole?
It is. I'm standing here, and it is wide. There's a break right now. If you're here right now, there are three launches open, but you got to hurry.
That's for sure. I think it's going to look like that tomorrow morning and Sunday morning as well, as people get out and enjoy red snapper fishing. And also, gosh, I don't want to look past all the other great species in fishing. I mean, I'm focused on snapper right now, but there's a whole bunch more to do.
Absolutely. If you're free fishing tomorrow, there are white trout, speckled trout, red drum. Everything is ready for you to catch it. So tell them to come on out.
What about dragging shrimp nets? Are the folks able to do that now?
Shrimping is open. You can come by our office and pick up a recreational shrimp boat license, or if you have a commercial shrimp boat license, get out there. The weather is perfect. I watched a few boats as I came across the bridge this morning that were out working in the bay. So take advantage of every opportunity you can get.
Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, thank you for your time, and we'll be seeing you this weekend on Dolphin Island.
All right, and don't forget the tomatoes.
Yeah, well, there's that. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's a bunch of people asking, but I'm going to bring you some. I definitely bring you some. Thank you. All right, 817 FM Talk 1065. We will talk a little bit more. You mentioned Montgomery and this Ed Henry story from yesterday. Get into that when we return right here on Mobile Mornings.
Good morning, 822 here on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. If you're looking for help at your business, well, you should already know that the right hire can have a huge impact, and it's crucial that you make sure your job post reaches the most qualified candidates. You could try posting on job boards, but if you do that, do you really know who's going to see the post? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours, insights that are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. That's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now, you can go to LinkedIn.com/WAVH to get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/WAVH for your $50 credit. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
All right, 823 FM Talk 106.5. Grab some calls, too, and text at 343-0106, 343-0106. Speaking of text, Terry asking, what if you don't have a smartphone? We were talking about the snapper reporting. Well, there are cards there when you come in. I know specifically I'm a Dolphin Island guy, so I'm thinking there, but it's true everywhere. You come into the launch, there is a box there where you pull the card out, write the snapper down, and put them in. You could also, you don't have a smartphone, because you can go to OutdoorAlabama.com without using the app if you don't download apps, but you do have web service. But those cards are there. There's a way to do it without the app. The app just makes it easier. Because you get it done before you show up at the launch, and there's the mayhem of putting boats back on trailers and all that goings on.
What if you don't have a pencil?
There are pencils provided.
Oh,
there.
Okay.
Okay, anything else?
Paper, too? Paper, too?
Yeah, the cards are there, so all you do is fill it. Anything? Pencil sharpener?
Yeah, you probably need a pencil sharpener. What if you make a mistake and you don't have an eraser?
So
this is enough out of you.
Who is he talking to?
I'm talking to Dalton.
Oh, okay.
What Dalton's doing is what the people at the state deal with, that I see on the text line too. Any answer? Well, what if you don't have this?
Right.
What if there are zombies at the launch and you can't get? At a certain point, fine. Get the ticket. I don't care. I tried to help you, but
so you're saying there's people out there who you give them information from A to Z and still they are not happy with the information you've provided.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, you just got to cover all your bases. Sometimes there's like 50 bases and not just 4.
So, keep going, but there is a certain point. I think you learn this as a parent when you get the your children are in the why phase, and I'm actually a guy that tries to answer it. And usually, I do two things: I'm trying to educate them and disincentivize the questioning, because I get into a very in-depth discussion with reference points and asking them if they remembered what I said before, and they fall asleep usually. But there is a certain point where they keep asking you questions, and you go, because I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't have an answer for that. Next.
No more questions, please.
Right, this one. Okay, daddy gives up. Mentioned this story yesterday about the indictment of Ed Henry, Representative Ed Henry. Ed, this is interesting. You remember Ed Henry was the spearhead on the Bentley impeachment effort. He had the early press conferences. He was calling for it. He was behind drafting that, which, by the way, if you ever want when you hear somebody get frustrated that they didn't find anything illegal that Bentley did, you know, when Ellen Brooks, special investigator, came out and said there were a bunch of bad things, but none of these broke laws, go back and look at the 110-page indictment that they put together with Ed Henry and the people in the House. Look at the things that were laid out there. If you can Google it and find it, if there's stuff we didn't even talk about on the air that's in there, and still they say, yeah, that was bad, but it wasn't against the law. But Ed Henry, that person, yesterday indicted on what they're saying is a scamming the government pill mill scam. His attorney now says he is guilty of no crimes. Ed Henry of Hartsel was arrested yesterday after being charged in U.S. District Court with paying kickbacks to a doctor's office that referred Medicare patients to his healthcare business. the way I read the indictment yesterday, his company, I don't have it in front of me, it's like Healthcare 24 or something, was a subcontractor to one of these, what they're calling pill mill facilities there in the Montgomery area. The defense attorney for Ed Henry says he paid no kickbacks to any person. Henry also took to Facebook last night to defend himself. He said, my goal was to help patients, and I did. We'll see where that goes, but this investigation was going on 2016 and 2017 mm-hmm. while, of course, he was spearheading. And I'm not saying there's any link between the two, because I don't think the U.S. District Court is there to defend former Governor Robert Bentley. But it's just, and listen, he might be, once again, I'm one of these people that just because you're charged with something, he might be as innocent as a day mm-hmm. is long. Mm-hmm. But several people yesterday on the text line that have reason to know about this, and when they said it, I said, you know, they're probably right in this. These pill mill investigations and busts, I don't know that many people have been exonerated in these. Once the feds have come down and you know, there's an allegation of defrauding the American federal government, there's questions around these pills, it seems like once they, you know, they pull the net up, everybody's going in the cooler. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So, of course, we're going to watch this closely. Interesting to note, there's some on the Twitter timeline that point out his bio on Twitter. It reads like this: Alabama State Representative HD9, trying to hold politicians accountable and make them answer to the people with zero regard for my own political life. That's his Twitter bio.
And he posted on Facebook yesterday his response to being indicted. He said, I've always been as open and transparent as possible. For the last 8 years, I've fought the government from further encroachment on our freedoms. Today began my fight with the federal government for my freedom. So while I would like to lay everything on the table for all to see, that would not be wise while fighting an opponent that has endless resources like our government. My goal was to help patients, and I did. Using a program established and promoted by Medicare, I helped chronically ill patients and saved the taxpayers money. For that, I have been charged with multiple felonies. I am not guilty of any crimes.
So we'll see where this goes. And quite possibly, he could be the one that, you know, bucks the trend here. But if you look at reading this investigation, it sounds like a facility kind of like they've had the bust here in Mobile County and Baldwin County. Mm-hmm. These pill mill busts, it sounds like there was a Montgomery facility that, at least in the federal indictment, seems similar to what was described down here. And they've already gotten in this. They've gotten the doctors that were running the place, nurse practitioners, nurses, like, you know, they went ahead and indicted everybody yesterday. How many of those will stick? They may also, you know how this works, be trying to get people to turn state's evidence mm-hmm. here and work with them maybe against maybe the bigger player, the doctors, or the bigger player, somebody else, or maybe Ed Henry's the bigger player, they think, you know, and they're going to try to do that. But that's going on right now. That'll be a story going forward.
Well, depending on whether he's convicted or not, if he is convicted, he'll join the Wikipedia list of 10 Alabama politicians convicted of crimes, joining most recently Robert Bentley, Mike Hubbard, and Don Siegelman.
Oh, listen, we've... That's only three. What?
It says, so there's a Wikipedia list. Alabama politicians convicted of crimes. Yeah, it does need to be updated. But right now, they only have 10 on there. So maybe it hasn't been updated in a couple of years.
Yeah, no joke. I would say don't save that Word document. You just keep it open yeah. and be able to add new people to that with some regularity. I mean, I say this because it's gallows humor. I'm laughing. I'm not proud of it. I'm not happy here in our state. What I want to see is things get corrected. All right, we come back from the break. We talked a bit this morning, of course, in the suicide of Anthony Bourdain earlier this week, Kate Spade, and some stats that came out yesterday for the from the Centers for Disease Control of suicide statistics in groups maybe that you don't think about. We often focus on younger people, right, and the teenagers. Well, they said there's been a 30% increase in suicide rates in people that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. Suicide rates up 30% since 1999. What's going on in our country? We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about services available to people that are dealing with depression and other mental health issues. Sarah Baumgartner joins us coming up next right here on Mobile Mornings. Right, 835 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Glad to have you here. You're talking with Director Scott Bandit about tomorrow being Free Fishing Day in the state of Alabama. But if you just want to cut out the middleman, Go to the Original Oyster House. Locally sourced seafood. They do the shrimping for you. They do the fish catching for you. They do the oyster gathering and tonguing for you. So if you want to, you can get out and enjoy it yourself. But yeah, drop the middleman and go to the people that know how to get it and how to cook it right. Original Oyster House, foot of 59 in Gulf Shores and on the Mobile Bay Causeway. And when you're there, also, I keep saying this because I do know, I see the salad bar when I'm there. It's a fantastic salad bar. They remind me about the salad bar. I can tell you academically they have a fantastic salad bar, but I can't lie to you. I've never tried it out because I'm always saying, okay, there's only so much room and there's all these seafood items I want to eat. There's a salad bar. It looks great, but I'm a salad person. I love salads. I said, but I can do that at the house. So I'm sorry, folks at the Original Oyster House. I know you got a fantastic salad bar, but I'm focused on the seafood. And seafood is what they've got. Hundreds of recipes and two locations to check out, or check them out online for all the details. OriginalOysterHouse.com. All right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. We've been talking about the suicide of Anthony Bourdain earlier this week. Kate Spade and Centers for Disease Control coming out yesterday with statistics here about suicide rates in the United States up 30%. You know, when things are like 3 and 4%, I'll get on here when everybody's in a huff, I say, settle down. That can be, it could just be numbers. It could be number crunching. You know, it's not enough to above a margin of error. But when I see something 30% increase, there's something going on here. Suicide rates up 30% since 1999. They said only about half the people who died by suicide had a known mental health condition, even though depression had been thought to be a major cause of suicide. While many cases of mental illness may have been diagnosed, CDC also notes that relationship stress, financial troubles, and substance abuse were contributing to the trends. Said in the report yesterday, from 1999 to 2015, suicide rates increased among both sexes, all racial and ethnic groups, all urbanization levels. And a lot of people, of course, focus back on the story with what's happened this week. Mm-hmm. But they said, just for example, in the last year they have stats for 2016, nearly 45,000 people died of suicide in our country.
And when you hear about something like this, we always give you a national number, and it's like, okay, I've heard that. I get it. I'll write it down somewhere. But then when you know that you have, from a local standpoint, that there is currently help right now, this is when, you know, we use our platform to share that information, because you don't know what people are suffering through. We obviously are talking about Lifeline's counseling services, which are available at Lifeline's Mobile, and our friend Sarah Bumgarner joining us this morning. You know, we wish you were joining us for a better topic. However, if you could, please talk to us about your services and how you're there in the time of need for so many people.
Yeah, Kelly. So through our agency, we answer the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline for this part of the area. Last year alone, we answered 643 calls into that line just from Southwest Alabama. So if that tells you, you know, it is a real need in this area as well. We offer services for people that are feeling suicidal, who might just want to call and talk. We have one thing I was going to share was, you said 30%. That mm-hmm. seems like a high number to you, but if you think about it, you add in veterans, they're 22% higher at risk.
Oh my goodness.
So we have, you know, veteran services that we offer. If you call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, it's like one of the first questions they ask. You press 1 if you're a veteran. There's different services for them. And so we just try to help people through whatever situation they're going through. Like you said, a lot of the risks that are involved are mental health disorders or substance abuse or just, you know, feelings of hopelessness. So a lot of times when they call, we can also talk with them through whatever situation they're going through. And if they are having some issues where they're feeling hopeless, you know, through that United Way 211 resource line, we're able to connect them with resources in the area that they might be lacking, that might be causing some of the issues.
I love on your website how you say helping people find real solutions to real problems. I think it's so easy to get caught up in this world of fantasy world, but people struggle and they don't know where to go. And the fact that you have so many different resources there, we just need to get them there. What can we do better to help get more people to you, whether over the phone or in person? You know.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, even though we do have these real solutions, it's still a stigma on getting help. And I'm not sure, you know, how we can change that, but it would be great if we could, you know, just tell people, like, it's okay to get help. You know, if your car was broke down, you probably wouldn't try to fix it yourself. You would take it to a mechanic because they know how to fix it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not a bad thing to go get help to fix something that's wrong internally as well. So I think just kind of, you know, knowing the risk factors. We do a training called QPR, and it's called Question, Persuade, Refer. And basically, it's just try to understand the signs of someone that might be suicidal. So we teach that, and then how to persuade them to, you know, get help, not commit, things like that. And so we can make sure that they get help, and then we refer them to the right resources. So we teach that to other local agencies, hospitals, businesses, things like that. Anyone 18 and older, it's a free training that we provide. We also go into the local schools, and in middle and high school, we do a Lifeline suicide training aspect. So we're hoping that maybe if we get this information out to students or children at a younger age, it will help prevent in later in life. Like, they'll feel more open to ask for help or know how to spot it in their friends or their family members.
You're giving so many nuggets of great information. Mm-hmm. And just to backtrack just a little bit, I know we all want to ask questions. I'm sorry. So for this week, two famous people, they take their own lives, which then brings it local. So now we're all talking. But what's jumping out at me is you talk about the stats for the veterans. That is troubling. That's the first time I'm hearing this number. I know we have a lot of veterans that listen to the show. Give us more information on that, what we can do, the resources that you are able to provide to our veterans who, you know, they signed up to do what we are so honored that they did and do, continue to do, which is protect our country. What can we do to support our veterans?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just like other people who, you know, have the risk factors of being suicidal, they have it, but they've experienced things on a whole nother level than we understand sometimes. And so we offer, of course, at the VA, their services offered. They can go to the VA. For family members of veterans, we have a program through the Community Foundation of South Alabama where we can offer it to the family, counseling to family members of veterans as well, something they wouldn't be able to get at the VA. But, you know, just again, and this is something I kind of talked about before, changing the conversation. Do we make light jokes about it? Do we, you know, make fun of people when they're like, oh, I think I need to go talk to somebody, I'm having some issues? Are we like, oh, man, you know, don't worry about it, you're fine? Or do we encourage them, like, yeah, it probably would help to go talk to somebody? So I think it's all about our culture, how we, sometimes I think when we talk about it, we don't realize that we're, you know, making them feel discouraged to get help when we really should be spotting those signs and encouraging them. Like, you know, did they just lose a relationship? Did they have, you know, some kind of physical illness, like major physical illness? You know, do they have a family history of it? Or just different things can cause it. And again, that's what that QPR kind of teaches people, to spot some of the risk factors, spot some of the signs. Are they talking about, you know, giving things away? Are they talking about there's just different signs that you can kind of spot, and it's a way that you can kind of help somebody.
You know, Sarah, it's something to watch, too, because we're talking about, you know, groups where we're focused, and so many people think about teenagers, young adults, and the prevalence of suicide. But, I mean, this study out from Centers for Disease Control, now we're talking about 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60-year-olds. Actually, the numbers didn't increase. The only group that they did not have an increase in suicide rate is 75 years old and up in this study. And I got to think that while you got to watch for different watch for signs like you're talking about, there's got to be different factors as well. Obviously, mental health, but as people get older, you know, it's not about peer groups or bullying, but you think about the time period they laid out in the study, economic downtrend, right? I mean, there are people that felt hopeless because of, you know, deals gone bad, losing jobs. I mean, so many Americans lost jobs with the Great Recession, and then that could lead to substance abuse and other things that you know, skyrocket into somebody taking their own lives. So, I mean, this is not just an issue for young people. This study right here really got my attention because it's talking about people on through their, you know, early adulthood to middle age.
Yeah, and if you think about it, I mean, it's a higher problem in males, too, because there's a lot of pressure on them to, you know, be the provider or mm-hmm. do certain things. And then again, there's that stigma, like, oh, you got to keep it all together. You don't need to go get help. You know, so it's just something that I think is a continual thing that we need to work on. But it could even be the higher pressure situations that you're put in, job, family, whatever, could cause more anxiety or things to, you know, make you feel hopeless. So I'm not sure all the, you know, reasons people do it, but I know that there are definitely resources in our area. You could call 211 and get resources. You can call the Suicide Prevention Lifeline 24/7 anytime. It's 1-800-273-8255. Someone will answer your call and talk to you. I've been in the office before and heard the phone ring and somebody get on the phone and been on the phone for a couple hours, you know, so they really are there and they really do care about these people that call in and, you know, want to help them through whatever situation they're going through if possible.
Sarah, you mentioned that you were talking about males, but some people, you know, so resistant to get the help they need, whether they feel that they're being selfish or they just want to fight it themselves. But I think most people personally know someone who has committed suicide. And if someone is interested in knowing, you know, some of those obvious signs that they should look for in close friends and family, what are some of those most obvious signs? And is there anything wrong with someone who is not suicidal, but maybe wants to call the hotline to get some tips if they're talking to a friend or family member?
Yeah, so of course there, you can call the hotline and get some resources. Most of the people that answer the Lifeline are trained in the Question Persuade Refer program, so they can provide that. But, you know, just knowing the risk factors, like I said. So if you, you know, have a friend and they're, you know, they're dealing with alcohol or drug use, or they're, you know, they, let's say veterans again, they have a major physical illness that, you know, they're, of course, will cause hopelessness, or just, you know, you see them kind of pulling away from the group when they used to be real, you know, just simple little things that it's like, oh, well, that's out of character for them, you know, or, and there is sometimes when, you know, people might not show the obvious signs and then you're like, wow, that was out of the blue. But for the most part, from the research that they've done and they put this program together, I think it's been in since the 90s, this is what they've seen. And so you can kind of spot those different signs and the different risk and say, hey man, are you okay? Like, I just want to let you know that I'm here to talk if you ever want to talk. Or, you know, just there's different things to persuade them to say, hey, it's okay to go get help, or hey, it's okay, here's a name of somebody in our area that probably would be a good person to talk to about what you're going through, or, you know, things like that.
Yeah, and that's a heavy lift for a lot of folks too. We've talked about this in the past where you're always worried with in society with friends, and you know, if you say something and it's not taken the right way, you're always worried about the response from that person. But in something so very serious, maybe it's worth the risk out there. All right, Sarah, once again, tell folks in our area or nationally, if they have these issues, they want to talk to somebody, what's that phone number?
The National Suicide Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255.
Sarah Baumgartner from Lifelines, thank you for your time this morning. Thank you for your efforts day in and day out in our area.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. And just, I want people to know that you are wanted. There's hope.
Well said. Well said. Thank you, Sarah. All right, 8:50. Coming right back. We'll grab some phone calls, some texts coming in, some conversation on Twitter as well. We'll get to that. This is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. At 8:53, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. I think you know, like you have any extra time. But if you did, Kelly, you could loan your services out to car companies around the country to rebrand and rename their vehicles, because you have always got a new name for the cool Mazda you're driving. And now, you know, I call that vehicle a Miata, but you call it the...
It's usually the newlywed mobile, but my mom's in town. So
yeah.
Two mamas rolling. And you can put your own spin on it, literally. We're having a great time. I've been testing out the 2018 MX-5. This is a Miata RF Grand Touring. He's beautiful. He really is. I mean, last night we were downtown once again because my mom's visiting from Michigan. I'm trying to show her, you know, the city. Mm-hmm. And she loves the top down during the 100-degree temperature time.
That's what happens when you survive a Michigan winter, you know.
or in the evening. But someone last night, I mean, was screaming across the street, "That's a good-looking car."
Car.
Yeah.
I just think about you and your mom.
Yeah,
okay,
well,
car.
She's beautiful. But, you know, throughout this two-week process, I've been telling you all the great attributes about the vehicle. What we've been doing is testing out vehicles under the Dean McCrary umbrella, and this is at the all-new Dean McCrary Mazda, and it's just been fantastic. I'm encouraging you to hop online and take a peruse through our social media pages so that you can see all the greatness. It's just a lot of fun. I mean, it's a two-seater. It's a drop-top convertible. I mean, wow. I mean, it's cozy space, okay? So what I do love is that the trunk, it right now, well, when we were rolling around yesterday, we had three mama bags in there and
holy
a computer
cow.
Bag.
Uh-huh. Those are, the mama bags are the ones that say team lift on them.
So I had to go pick up some pizzas, and I put three pizzas and some breadsticks in there. That's what I'm saying.
For a car that size, I mean, that's
correct.
A sporty car. That's not usually you wouldn't pick it could haul more than like a purse.
Correct. So I do real life testing outing, as they say. But you know, it's the usual greatness from a radio standpoint. Of course, you've got the I love the tablet look of the console, because you can pick and choose. Because sometimes you look at those look beautiful, and you still have to turn knobs. But I mean, Mazda knew what they were doing when they came out with this vehicle. This is a beauty. Don't just take my word for it. Go ahead and zoom on down to the all new Dean McCrary Mazda. They're on the East Service Road of I-65 and very helpful, very knowledgeable, and they will get you what you want, guaranteed.
Great stuff. All right, a couple texts here before we wrap up for today. Terry says, some vets get together and do a phone network. If you need to talk, you call someone in your network. If they don't answer, you have another one to go to.
Oh,
so veterans,
to
because that's going to be very important. That's probably why Sarah said, if somebody presses, you know, the button for being a veteran, they're going to put them with people that are vets that understand, because civilians wouldn't understand mm-hmm. the things they'd need to talk to these men and women. Also, Jason says, most employers give lip service to the problem, but don't allow time off for counseling or help. You know, so what about that? I would, and that goes back to the thing, because it's inside, not outside.
That's right.
You know, the person has a broken leg, nobody questions, you know, oh, you're out for a couple, you can't get in here. I get it. If it's inside, it's harder for people to quantify.
And some
learning.
Some people are great actors. I mean,
that's the problem, too. Right. That there are people that would take advantage of that for the wrong reasons. But, you know, if you defer to the side of caution here, this is a real thing. I mean, y'all, 30% increase. And this is in groups that, I got to tell you, I mean, once people are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, I thought those numbers went down. Now, right. Once again, I've looked at the stat here that this overlays with the Great Recession. I think that has a part to play in here, mm-hmm. but so do just general mental health issues, substance abuse. People say people get away from going to church.
Mm-hmm. Financial.
These kind of things are all contributing. Just saying, it's this one thing, I think that's probably silly.
And I wonder how much of it, with the rise in that age group, you know, that's coming up on the age of retirement. And you mentioned the recession earlier, mm-hmm. and Kelly, you just said financial issues. That's a problem for a large swath of Americans that are
and
coming
that
up
happened,
on the retirement age.
And people who think about 07, 2007, mm-hmm. were right there. They thought they had really had the bull by the horns, had everything going, and then all of a sudden the bottom drops out, and what that costs. Listen,
there's just lastly, quickly, there's so many people living a certain life outwardly, and inwardly they don't know where their next meal's coming from. They have no idea when the lights are going to be turned off. Their children, you know, have needs, and it's vital to just continue to share the information, hoping that it reaches the right person, then they will share it as well.
That phone number, post it up on our social media, but it's 800-273-8255. All right, Laura Ingram Show on the way next. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Y'all have a great weekend.
Yes, you too.
Bye, y'all.